Blog Talk Radio. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me cause I love her.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 234 and counting. And I want to welcome everyone aboard this evening. All you new listeners, I hope you enjoy the show and keep coming back and keep spreading the words on how we can help these animals in need out, because they need our voices. They can't speak out for themselves. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals. And all these shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. So you can listen and share 24/7. And I'll give you that link, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley, and want to give her a big shout out promoting this show every Thursday on the PPJ Gazette. It's news and then articles, hot topics on the environment, animals, and humans. Please visit that. You can have it delivered to your primary email on the right side column under blog stats. Every time there's a new podcast or article, it will be delivered to your primary email. Or you can also follow these shows on the primary website on Blog Talk Radio. And that website, just gave it to you before, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. There's a follow button underneath the Animal Advocates Radio logo, and every time there's a new broadcast coming up, it will alert you in your email. On the left side of the screen, you can share to other social media sites, Facebook, Twitter. You can email it. You can copy it. If you press the cross, it's all of them, WordPress, Pinterest. I mean, this list is huge. So just press and click, and it goes to any social media site that you're a member of. I want to just go over a couple of things before we get with the show. There is a chat room that's open. I'm opening it up right now. If you'd like to join in, just sign in from Blog Talk Radio. And then scroll down past the comments and a chat room will appear. Also, all these shows are, you can listen in worldwide with unlimited listeners. So if you please keep spreading the word. If you want to be a guest on the show, Voices Carry for Animals at AOL.com. And just send me a small bio of yourself, any Facebook pages or groups, websites, videos, petitions, and you're more than welcome to come on board. I will be taking calls the later part of the show. This number, it's the same number every Thursday, so if you want to log it into your phone, you can. You can also Skype in. Area code 310-982-4270 and press 1 to speak. And that number is area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 to speak. You can listen by phone or you can call in. So if you want to have any questions or comments for the guest, just press 1 if you're in the queue. We've got a packed queue tonight. Thank you, everybody, and all you listeners, returning listeners, all your support. And it's just wonderful how teamwork It's so amazing how we can do things together and get positive results. I'm going to go ahead with the show. I've got a guest. I want to welcome her back. She has been on my show several times, even on the Marty Oakley TS Radio Network, where I did 163 shows for Voices Care for Animals. If you want to visit those shows, you can Blog Talk Radio, search Voices Care for Animals. And she's a wonderful guest, and she's out there, all the inspiring work she does. Watch Dog Mary is an investigative journalist with more than 20 years experience. TV and print journalist, now Watch Dogging for Animals. Honored to have won 16 Emmy, 8 Edward R. Murrow and Associated Press Awards for investigating, reporting, and writing. Watchdog Mary is using her talents to report about animals. She's doing an outstanding job out there, everyone. And I want to welcome her back. How are you doing, Watchdog Mary, a.k.a. Mary Swagger? This is Pitbull Debbie. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me back. How are you doing?
Hey, so far so good. You know, we had to hurricane that Dorian was down here in Florida and traveled, did massive damage that everybody heard in the Bahamas and some in the Carolinas. And it's devastating, but got lucky here, didn't even lose power, and we're just pray that there's not going to be no more this year. It's the end. We're done. You know, so prayers out to all them.
The damage to the Bahamas, to people and animals, oh my goodness, that was just awful.
Yes, it is. And it's heartbreaking, you know. I mean, losing homes, and a lot of there's so many animals lost their lives, and they have to rebuild, so we have to give them, you know, hope to carry on, however we can, you know, because I could just imagine what they're going through. It's terrible. You know, you come home.
Oh, I know. I know. Some
no
of the pictures
home.
And video I've seen, it's just heart-wrenching.
So together as a team, you know, help them, bring them strength to rebuild and, you know, bring them their lives back. It's cool that it's not going to happen overnight. But if everybody, you know, does their part and helping each other, humans helping humans out and humans helping animals, we'd get a lot farther and a lot faster. So, but,
yeah, you think if everybody was nice and helpful, that would be a great place. I hope so.
That's it. You know, everybody put a little love in your heart and do your part, because you never know
exactly when
we could be in their spot. You know, that's what you got to look
at.
Exactly. Put yourself
in
their, you know, feet or paws and think, hey, that can happen to me too, you know, so, and then I will need help.
Yeah.
So,
you never know.
We can never say never, Mary, never.
Oh,
but
exactly.
You want to go ahead and refresh the audience on how you got started, and I love your name, Watchdog Mary, and congratulations on all the awards you got. You deserve them so much.
Oh,
but go ahead and tell the audience how you got started and everything. And everybody, I will be taking calls towards the end of the show. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background. You know, TV, stereos, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. But go right here, Watchdog Mary.
Well, Debbie, thank you. You know, how I got started was I've been a journalist for a long time. I ended up in journalism because I flunked chemistry in college. So there wasn't as much math needed for journalism. So that's how I got started. And I did investigative and consumer reporting for years. And I've always been a big animal lover. And my family's always adopted dogs. And I've always adopted and rescued dogs. And I was doing a lot of investigative stories, and I started writing national consumer columns, and I started getting a lot of emails from people telling me about what was going on in a lot of the shelters in the South and the animal overpopulation problems and how many dogs and cats were being killed, and it really opened my eyes. I'm from the North, and, you know, in some shelters it's different up here, then they don't have the same amount of animal overpopulation problems as they do in some parts of the South. So those people reaching out to me and giving me tips and telling me what was going on really opened my eyes to the need that was there and the help that these animals needed and how many great dedicated people there are out there to help them. I mean, for every horrible story you hear about an animal, you know, there are 10 great people or more willing to step up and help that animal, maybe foster the animal, adopt the animal, donate for their care. So it's really been an amazing journey for me. And one of the biggest things that I've noticed over my years of doing animal reporting is how spaying and neutering is so important. And now for some of you listening, you probably already have this down. You think, oh yeah, spay and neuter, are you even really going to talk about this? You probably grew up watching Bob Barker. He signed off The Price is Right, telling people, please remember to spay and neuter your dogs and cats. You know, that guy was on to something. And here's why. And I just want to talk about this because this is just so critically important, because spaying and neutering your pets can actually help save the lives of other animals. And if you're thinking, what? How? What? I'm going to tell you more about how. So let's just say you own a male dog, and he's unneutered. And let's say that one day he sneaks over the fence or under the fence, and he takes a little jaunt through the neighborhood. And while he's out on his jaunt, he encounters an unspayed female dog in someone else's yard. And perhaps, well, one thing leads to another, and they find a love connection. And you know the next thing, 2 months later, that female dog ends up pregnant with puppies. In the meantime, that male dog slipped back over the fence, back into his yard, and that owner may have no idea he's a puppy daddy. Well, back to the female dog, when that owner figures out she's pregnant, or all of a sudden they wake up and there's 10 puppies in his yard or in his house, it's a huge surprise. And that owner's like, oh my gosh, I don't want puppies. No, 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 it's not for me. So that owner brings the mother dog, who, of course, was not spayed, and the puppies, and sometimes just the puppies to a shelter, kind of dumps them off there and hopes for the best. But the problem is sometimes the best just doesn't cut it. When you bring your pets to an animal shelter, they're at high risk to being euthanized in some places in the country. Each year, millions of dogs and cats are euthanized in shelters. And a lot of it is just because the shelters are full. Just because a dog ends up or a cat ends up in a shelter doesn't mean that they've done something wrong. It's just the sheer numbers. And I've seen it. I've seen it even recently, even in the last 2 months. Some shelters will kill the mother dogs. They'll kill the mothers and puppies. And, you know, they'll kill the puppies. I've seen awful circumstances. Even recently, in San Antonio within the last couple of months, mother dogs were killed in the shelter, but the puppies were rescued. It's kind of like the cardinal sin of rescue. You don't take the puppies but not save the mother. But that happens. People find it shocking, but I've seen it happen time and time again. Even recently, even within the last 2 months. And that's why spaying and neutering your pet is so critically important. If that male dog in that scenario I mentioned, if he was neutered and that female dog was spayed, that unwanted litter never would have happened. And if that mother and pups ended up at a shelter that was full and they euthanize animals due to space reasons, they could be killed. So, I mean, Debbie, do you think a lot of people realize this?
You know, I don't know what's – we got to do better what we're doing because there's so many of them that's getting healthy, adoptable animals, you know, just getting put to sleep. And it's unbelievable, Watchdog Mary. I can't, you know – I look at and see all the cross posters out there spreading the word and, you know, the trying to save lives and everything. And some of them, they don't have enough time to, you know, get to safety. and it's just ongoing. It just prevails. They put them down like it's nothing, you know, like it's assembly line.
Yeah.
Next, 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 next. And it's like, whoa, we have to do something. You know, spay and neuter your pets. That's so important, you know, out there.
Yeah,
because
the line sounds so cliche to some now. You know what I mean? Like I was saying, you heard Bob Barker sign off, the price is right. You know, spay and neuter your pets. And some people are like, yeah. But I don't, I mean, it sounds like I said so cliche, but I don't think people really realize how important it is and how just, you know, one simple little mishap of your unneutered male dog just going out looking for love in all the wrong places ends up with the neighboring dog being killed with her puppies. I mean, I just don't know if people really realize this. When I, like I mentioned, I'm in the north, and when I tell people about all the dogs and cats in some parts of the country that get killed at shelters, how many people don't spay and neuter their pets, they're just floored. And so you kind of can't explain this enough to people.
I know, and it's so, I mean, I don't know. I know you've seen those horrific photos where, you know, they have them going through social media where the dog's being drugged to the last walk and everything. It is so heartbreaking to see those photos. I mean, it crunches, it puts up my heart. It's just, whoa, what is going on here? So, you know, these animals are living animal beings, just like we are living human beings. You know, we're all on this earth temporarily. We got to make the best of it. But when you see these animals, I mean, the cross posts, a big shout out to them who are relentless of keep cross posting, you know, helping saving lives, get them to safety, get them adopted, get them rescued. You know, what would we do without them? I mean, they're volunteering their good old time to help out the animals, you know, just like a lot of animal lovers out there. They're putting in some very heartfelt and meaningful time by helping these animals out.
Social media postings and internet postings totally save the lives of animals. People who go in to the shelters, even if they're volunteers, and offer to take photos of the animals in need and post them on Facebook and Instagram, social media, and online. They are huge lifesavers. You know, that's how I find out about half of the stories that I report, is people will send it to me through my Facebook page, and I see their stories online, and I see the stories of, you know, animals in need. It's such for all the things that are wrong and problematic with social media and the internet, this is really a valuable tool.
Yes, it is, the power of social media. You know, because you look at all the social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest. I mean, this list is huge. And each one of them that I am a member of, I always see animals going through to get, you know, adopted, rescued to safety. And so that's a lot of covering all these social media sites, you know, and the animals. Sometimes you read safe or adopted, which we would love to hear. Rescued, and then we hear gone or rest in peace.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's the heartbreaking part of it. So, you know, these, some of them, they just don't give them enough time to get them adopted or to safety.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so the solution is, when you're hearing millions get put down a year because of overcrowding and they're healthy, it's not right. I mean, give these animals a chance. I mean, more adoption events. I've seen, you know, heard things on the radio announcements where they're having adoption events, or even have on the news, a part of the news where they have an animal that's up for adoption. That's great. You know, even in newspapers, the mainstream media getting involved, because when we all work together as one, the results are amazing. You know, when we are divided by ourselves, that's when it takes longer. So all you social people out there, please tell the news, you know, get more involved. Magazines, the, you know, newspapers, the AM, FM radio. I mean, it's going to make our heads spin how much we all come together as one and get it done. Our voices do matter. And much like Mary, you're a great voice. Yes.
Thank you. Hey, we're all in this together. But I will say that I've seen a lot more of the mainstream media, local newspapers, local television and radio stations, and even national ones start to cover animals more and more. I mean, look at the popularity of the dodo, for example. That's all animals all the time. The last time I looked, I think they had more than 20 million Facebook fans. People love that. You know, they really love animals, and that really shows you something. But, you know, just getting back briefly to spaying and neutering, I want to talk about a lot of the myths and misunderstandings when it comes to spaying and neutering. I also volunteer in rescue, and I talk to pet owners all the time, and when some pet owners are asked, you know, why didn't you spay or neuter your pet? Sometimes they'll say things like, oh, my dog or cat only stays in the yard. We don't go to dog parks. The dog doesn't go anywhere, so I don't need to get them sick. That is just so wrong, because when that unneutered male dog or cat senses a female in the neighborhood in heat, they go looking for that animal. I've heard people say, you know, all of a sudden my dog just took off. You know, he was on a leash and he took off over to the neighbor's house. And so, you know, if you think, oh, I don't need to spay my dog, I'm just going to keep her in the backyard, and my unneutered male, I'm just going to keep him in the backyard, those animals find almost any way they can to escape and rendezvous with that female. So it's just so important. That's just not an excuse. And I have definitely talked to pet owners who've surrendered female dogs with, you know, their puppies. And that's what they said. They said, I've had no idea. She just stayed in the backyard. I don't even know how it happened, because they can do it pretty quickly. that encounter can happen in a minute or two, and you may not even know that your backyard had some X-rated activity going on. So that whole idea of my dog doesn't go anywhere, my cat doesn't go anywhere, I don't need to get them fixed, that is just a myth, which can lead to a conception. You accidentally don't want to have an accident in your backyard that contributes to this horrendous pet overpopulation problem that we're talking about. Another thing that's kind of something that is up for debate, and, you know, you always want to say talk to your vet about this, but people seem to have it in their head, you know, what is the right age to get your dog spayed or neutered? Now, in my research, and again, you always want to talk to your vet, I'm not going to give medical advice, but I've surveyed a lot of vets, and the main consensus is about 6 months old is a good age. And, you know, there's all sorts of wives' tales out there and misinformation. Some people think it's not healthy to neuter their male dogs, or neutering too early will stunt their growth. Some people will say they've heard to let the female dog go into heat once, then spay. But the vets that I've surveyed, and I've done even, you know, other radio and TV shows and articles with, they all say these are myths and misconceptions, and that could lead to an unwanted conception. In fact, I've heard many vets say there are health benefits to fixing your pet. For example, if you don't neuter your dog, they actually have a higher likelihood to get testicular cancer. And female dogs are at higher risk for reproductive and mammary cancer. And let me just say, some of the kind of most entertaining conversations I've ever had when I volunteered in rescue is if you're talking to a guy, or if you're a man and you're listening to this show, when you talk about neutering your male dog, some of the men will cringe and they'll say, like, oh, no, I'm not neutering my male dog. But the vets I've talked to have assured me that your male dog is not going to have an identity crisis, and you shouldn't either. It's not going to make your male dog any less masculine. So that is always funny to watch their face. And quite frankly, and this is kind of crazy, but if a guy really likes the look of his dog having testicles, if it's that big of a deal to him, and now I'm not condoning this, I'm just mentioning this because I've always found this very entertaining, but in my research, I found implants called nudicles. and they are testicular implants to make it look like your dog still has them. They are quite hilarious looking. I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to somebody who's tried them. If your dog has nudicles, please call in a couple minutes. I'd love to hear more about it. And then a lot of people say they don't spay and neuter their pets sometimes just because they can't afford it. Some vet offices will charge hundreds of dollars to do the procedure. But these people have to realize that there's a lot of cities and towns that offer low-cost spay and neuter. And what you might just want to do is just Google low-cost spay and neuter with your location and see what comes up. There's probably a low-cost spay and neuter clinic somewhere close to you. If you call up and try to make an appointment, most of these clinics do sound overwhelmed. I mean, that's good. People are making appointments. Some of them might have a long wait list, but you just should sign up. And sometimes you can even ask to be on a cancellation list. And I've seen a lot of people get in just by going on the cancellation list. And some clinics will also give discounts to people who are low income or perhaps they're elderly. They'll give them a price break. And then in some areas, the clinics are even subsidized by the local city or counties to help curb pet overpopulation problems in the area. So, you know, there's a lot of support out there for people if they decide, you know what, I should really get my dog fixed. I really don't want to ever contribute to another dog dying in the shelter. There's a lot of options out there for people. There's a lot of price options out there. There's a lot of low-cost clinics. So it's definitely something that people would want to look into, in my opinion.
Okay, Mary, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Can you hear
okay.
me?
Yeah, okay. Did I cut out for a while, or was I there the whole
time?
Yeah,
it was just a couple seconds.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
So did you hear me talking about how to find low-cost spay and neuter?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, perfect.
It was just
perfect.
Like a couple
yeah.
seconds that was just missing. But you're good.
Oh,
go
okay.
ahead. I can hear you clear now.
Okay, perfect. So overall, I just don't think people always realize how just spaying or neutering your pet can just help. You just don't want to be part of the problem. You want to be part of the solution. And there's definitely low-cost options out there for people if they can't afford it. And like I said, I'm not sure if it cut out, but you might just want to Google low-cost spay and neuter in your city or town name in the state and see what pops up. You'll probably find a place. There might be a waiting list, but, you know, you can jump on the list. You might even ask to be put on the cancellation list. But there's definitely affordable options out there for people.
Oh, yeah. It just takes a little bit of research. You know, just like you said, search, you know, low cost, spay and neuter, and just go from there. And, you know, because it's most of the time, and I'm not real sure on this, it's in every city, right, from across the United States where they do that, or is this certain ones that's not involved? Because that's a great idea, and to spread the word, you know, to pet owners, too, around your neighborhood or at work or throughout your family, you know, just getting the word out, helping with this overpopulation and stuff. Because these animals,
yeah, if people are listening to the show, they might just want to even start talking to their friends that, you know, may have unfixed pets or that, you know, that guy in the dog park. I mean, I've definitely done that. It's not always met with the best acceptance from someone. But I have one of my dogs, he's a neutered male, and he, for some reason, does not like unneutered males. So he can tell him, like, you know, 20 yards away, he sniffs out the testosterone or something. And so then, you know, if we're walking in the woods or something like that, I'll go and, you know, get him on a leash and stuff and just explain to that pet owner, oh, you know, keep your dog away from mine. He doesn't like unneutered males. And then I'll say, have you ever thought about getting your dog neutered? Cause, yeah, I'm that obnoxious person at the dog park. And they'll say, you know, a million things. Like, no, my vet says it's going to stunt his growth, or it's not good for a male dog or something like that. And then, you know, I try my best to tell them what I found in my research. It doesn't always go over well, but, you know, if you can change the minds or at least educate, you know, people, it, you know, it definitely would help. And, you know, they should always speak to their vet. Perhaps there's some medical reason or their dog wouldn't do well under surgery because they have underlying health problems. So that's key. But like I said, the consensus of vets I've talked to, they say there's lots of health benefits to spay and neutering your pet. And usually about 6 months is a good time to do it if you adopted a puppy or a kitten or something like that.
6 months, okay. Yeah, because, I mean, just the thought of, you know, a lot of these, you know, shelters are overcrowding and everything. And there are some no-kill shelters, but some of them that are, you know, putting the animals down so fast, we have to get these numbers down. Now, we know Watchdog Mary, we're not going to go down to ever zero, but at least I think we can see a massive decrease. And that spay and neuter is so very important, and or adopt and don't shop. You know, go to your near shelter. Your next BFF is waiting for you, or, you know, several of them. Take the time and take the interest, because they're unconditional love. And that, you know, their pets, animals are so awesome. And they make, you know, to move in, and they're the now family member, a furry loved one or loved ones. And
You know, more people are making the pets a member of their family than any, you know, ever before, and that's really great. And, you know, a lot of shelters are catching on to no kill, and Best Friends, which is an animal group, has been Best Friends, and then also Nathan Winograd, who started the whole no kill revolution. You know, they've both been pushing this and educating people and trying to educate municipalities and public and county shelters about how to start a no-kill shelter. And a lot of it just has to deal with the basics of, you know, show the public the animals that are in there in need. If your cages get full, start getting fosters, start getting out into the neighborhood, start getting adopters. You know, it's all about communication and visibility and developing a foster network, networking with rescues, and networking with the public, and, you know, screening adopters and finding homes for these. But, you know, they have on both of their websites, it's the No Kill Revolution, it's Nathan Winograd, and also Best Friends and American Pets Alive and Austin Pets Alive. They have great blueprints, and they have plans about how you can make this work. You know, Nathan Winograd's an attorney, and he kind of is the grandfather of all of this, and he said that he has seen and worked with shelters that have a tiny, tiny budget, and they have gone no kill. And what no kill is, that also has some misconceptions about it, is that's basically that the shelter has a 90% to 95% live release rate, and that means that 90% to 95% of the animals that come into the shelter leave through the front door alive. And, you know, there's always going to be dogs who, you know, are very, very sick or are in horrible shape mentally, physically, that, you know, unfortunately a shelter's going to have to let go. But no-kill shelters do not euthanize for space reasons is another good way of looking at it. So it's not like, you know, oh, Fido, it's been 3 days, your time is up, you're out of here. You know, they don't do that. They put effort into it, and they try to find a home. They try to find a solution. They try to find a foot to go. So there's a lot more shelters that are catching on to that. I think Delaware just became the first no-kill state in the country. There's a lot of cities that have become no-kill. Austin, Texas, Waco. I think Waco's still working on the goal. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to check that. But there's a lot of city councils that are now voting, saying, we are going to give ourselves the resources, and we're going to reach out to the community. We want our community to be no-kill, and we want to be proud of that. So I've never seen it catch on as much as it has in the last couple of years. And American Pets Alive now has conferences to try to teach shelters how to do this. They'll bring in the animal control officers and shelter management from shelters across the country And they'll say, here's how you do that. I mean, it's all, again, about education, whether you're teaching shelters and the communities about how they can become no-kill or whether you're trying to educate people about spaying and neutering. But it's all about educating people of how this all works. And, you know, some people might think, so, oh, I don't need to spay or neuter my pet, and when the dog gets pregnant, I'll just drop her at the animal shelter and someone will adopt her. But that doesn't always happen, as we know. So it's just about opening people's eyes and letting them know that there is a way to do this and there is a logical, proven way to save animals. And, you know, people just have to get on board.
That's right. And it takes teamwork, Watchdog Mary, from every angle. And we got a call. We got a couple calls calling in. Are you ready to take some calls?
Sure.
With any comments or questions for Watchdog Mary? Area code 719. And then I know who this is. This is the mama cat, Ray Bittner of the Community Cats United, a former guest, everybody. How you doing, Ray? Mama cat.
Wonderful. How are you ladies doing today?
Hey, good. And tell Skyler a big shout out to him, okay? The grandson.
I'll tell him. Hey, I wanted to... Mary, I heard you saying about Delaware becoming no-kill. That was a statement. They are not no-kill.
That was
no
a what?
Kill. A false
statement. Oh, I thought they
statement.
Voted to become no-kill.
They may have voted to become, but they're 65%. They're not no-kill. And then recently...
I think they voted to try to obtain a no-kill status or something like that. I'd have to go back and look up the article. You know, sometimes communities will vote to become no-kill, and they'll put dates, like we hope to achieve it by 2020, for example.
Well, I think it was Best Friends that said that they had become no-kill. They're not. They're trying on it, and I hope they get there. And then there was another one, Pet Alliance.
Yeah, I didn't mean that they are no kill right now, but I think I said they voted to become no kill.
But then the Michigan Pet Fund Alliance recently released an article saying that Michigan had become no kill. Again, false. They're, Michigan's nowhere near being no kill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope places do become no kill, but people have to be careful when they say that these are no kill, because then people think it's okay to bring their animals to the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That they're safe and that they're going to be protected.
That's a very good point.
And Delaware has not reached it. Michigan has not reached it. They're trying.
I think Delaware, I'm just looking up an article. Delaware, I think, is trying to go no-kill. And I think I said they just voted or just, you know, to become no-kill. They're hoping to achieve it by 2025, which, from what Debbie and I were talking about, at least it's a step in the right direction. But I agree with you. I think it's very important that people don't think, oh, the pet problem's solved. Everyone's no-kill now, la-di-da. That's not true at all.
Right. And I'm not trying to contradict anything you're saying or anything. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, because people think, oh, they're no-kill. We can bring Fido up there, no problem.
And yeah, I think that's a very good point.
And, you know, Michigan is I was really upset, and I've been going back and forth with the Alliance, Michigan Alliance, about this, because they want to argue the point that Michigan has become no kill, and like St. Clair County, Michigan alone is killing more than 53% of their cats. That's just the cats.
Wow.
I'm not sure about
that. Wow.
Cass County is killing 7 out of 10 cats. Lake County is put to death 3% of all cats. I mean, that's not no kill. I don't care how you.
Oh, of course not.
You're telling me, well, we take all the shelters and all the rescues, combine the numbers. No, that's not how it works. You know, it's. I understand what they're trying to do, but. You know, when you're killing 73% of anything, that's not no kill.
No, that's horrendous. And you know what's interesting, and it's sad, when I've crunched the stats and the live release rates and the kill rates of shelters, it's always more dismal for the cats.
Oh, yeah.
I've always seen more cats get killed than dogs. And then some shelters don't even take cats or pick up cats. They're like, yeah, whatever.
And then they put a feeding ban out. You know, one of our groups right now that's being taken to court she has ferals in a mobile home park that she's been feeding. And they're actually taking court. This will be like her third court date for feeding the cats. They want her to just stop feeding them. They'll go away. Well, they may go away, but they're going to go away and die. You know, you can't feed these for 10 years and then just say, nope, we changed our mind. You can't feed them anymore. You know? But I just,
there's a lot of controversies about the, you know, trap and release and feeding and, you know, and how to, you know, deal with cat overpopulation problems.
I won't do that. If I do a colony, TNR, part of it is taking care of the colony. That's my opinion. And if we do a colony, we do it 100%. We continue feeding them and then try, you know, we pull them one at a time, socialize, find them homes, but we continue feeding them. I've got five colonies that we're feeding right now, you know. So, I mean, that's got to be part of it. And you're not going to make them go away by starving them to death. That's not the way to do it. These feeding bans just have me kind of up in arms over here, but, you know, I know there's another caller, so I just wanted to kind of weigh in on that.
You know, great point. Great point.
Thanks, Mary. It was great talking with you.
Thanks,
you
Ray,
too.
For calling in and your participation and everything. A great supporter of the show, Watchdog Mary. You know, she jumps over and multitask, help other animals out. And that's what I do, too, and a lot of us, you know, we have to. Just jump over because it doubles the numbers, triples, and the more voices out there, the better. But you can go ahead
exactly.
And, Ray. Yeah, Ray, you can stay on air. I got another caller calling to come to Erica 219. You're live and on air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Voices care.
Hi, my name's
right
Jack.
Here. You got any questions or comments?
Yeah,
from
my name's Jack. I'm just really sickened by how anybody could hurt an animal. Like, it's just disgusting. Like, they can't defend themselves, and you're gonna beat up on a poor defenseless little animal. Like, they're really loving creatures, especially dogs. Take my dog Licker for instance. My dog Licker, he's a big scary looking dog. Everybody's usually afraid of him, but he's really lovable. Like, sometimes at night I like to put peanut butter on my balls and my asshole. And
hang up.
Oh, I did. Caller, we're not taking any rude calls. Please respect the guest and myself and the audience. So, you know, this is the wrong station to be calling in on.
Call Dr.
Okay,
Phil.
Area code 732. You're live and on air. I don't want no rudeness or anything towards the guest, please. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air because I will hang up on you. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. I called in, but the lady before me kind of made a point on TNR. I had a colony for 15 years that I did, and we got them all their shots spayed and neutered and fed them and took care of them. They had houses and covered feeding stations. We dedicated a lot of our time. But what has to be done here is townships, counties need to be spoken to on TNR, because for cats, that's the only way that they can live. It's not fair that they just come in and trap them and then take them and kill them. They can live healthy in a colony with TNR.
Absolutely.
And right now what I'm doing is I'm working on laws for the animals because animals are property. So if it's easy just to kill them in many ways, and they are worth nothing. They need to have worth in the law system.
One of the, and I have to admit, I don't know a whole lot about this topic, but when, are these cats mostly feral, or could any of them, are they adoptable that could live in homes, or?
No, all my cats came from my colony. I had taken in 8 of them. They get to trust their feeder, because we were there all the time. We sat there even Mischief Night, Halloween, so nobody would harm the cats because they go after black cats for sacrifice. And it's really terrible. But towns don't want to do TNR, and that's not fair because who are you to decide who lives and who doesn't of God's creation? They all deserve life.
Who and what are towns opposed to? Why are they opposed to it?
Well, mine was supposed to be a TNR, and I was there for, I told you, 15 years, and the town
and
would come and...
And so people know who might be listening and don't know what that is. What, can you just explain and define what that means?
Sure. It's trap, neuter, and release. So you trap the cats, you take them to the vet, they get spayed or neutered, and they get their shots. So they're just taken care of that way, like your own cats in your house. They have their shots, they're spayed or neutered so that they don't multiply, and then they live in the colony if you have a responsible feeder that will dedicate their time to that colony, and they can live out their life there.
Uh-huh. And then why are towns opposed to this?
I don't really know. I worked with animal control with my colony, and he felt that because they didn't have a home that they should just be euthanized. I find that horrific. They were taken care of very well. I mean, my husband built houses, covered feeding station. We'd whack the woods and shoveled the woods and everything else. I mean, it was beautiful back there. And the mayor and council would come and look and walk through, and, you know, they said it's really pretty. Until some ladies had no life, and they made a complaint. And then the town had to stand on the complaint, and then they had a problem. But the cops and the mayor and they all knew me. I'm the cat lady of my town. I mean, everybody knows me as that. And when they wanted to go in and kill all my cats, I fought my entire town. I stood alone and fought the entire town for their lives because I told them, if you're going to kill my cats, you got to kill me first.
And so the options for feral cat colonies? It sounds like it would be either as you mentioned, the trap, the spay, neuter, vaccinate them, and then release, or else someone would round them up, and because they're used to, you know, being feral cats, they're not adoptable, so they'd be killed in a shelter?
Yeah. Well, I think, to me, feral means homeless. I mean, if we were out
on
the street...
Oh, okay, I thought they were being, wild.
Well, that's what people seem to think, but, I mean, mm-hmm. I took them in from my colony, and a little love goes a long way.
Just because an animal lives outside doesn't mean they're wild. I mean, look at all those dogs in Texas that live outside, and, you know, when they get caught by animal control, a lot of them are very adoptable. You know, they're happy.
Right, yes. They're scared at first, and I think that's where they get to think that they're feral, or that's where they get the name, because they're afraid.
Uh-huh.
They have no other knowing of caring and love. You know, they've just been out there trying to look for food and being cold and everything else. To me, I'm a very big animal advocate. extremely big. So, yeah. I mean, I feel animals should have rights. They should have laws. You shouldn't just be able to make a mistake at a vet's office or whatever and they have no worth. They have worth. They help the blind. They help the people who have seizures. There's so many helps that animals do, and they deserve respect.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And there's different levels of feral that a lot of people don't understand. A true feral has never had human contact.
Right.
And they are wild. They're considered a wild animal. But then there's community cats. These cats used to be pet, and people abandoned them or dumped them. And then there's just friendly, you know, like some of our colonies have all of the above. My colony, when I started, I had like 8 true ferals. I mean, they were wild as can be. And then I had some that you could tell had human contact before, but they were still very scared, you know, because like the lady said, they have to fight for every morsel of food they get. And then there's just cats like my buddy that he was 15 years old and sick, and somebody dumped him at one of my colonies, knowing that we fed there, figuring that he'd be able to. Well, feral cats are not going to let a tame cat eat at their colony. You know, found him because he was 10 from the food and he couldn't get to it. So there's different levels of the cats, but the humane societies, if a cat comes in a cage, okay, figure you put a cat in a little cage and bring him to the humane society, they're scared. Even my pets are scared. So the chance of a feral cat making it out of the shelter are zero, because they're scared. And that's what they're saying, that cats are unadoptable and that they're better off dead. Well, let's ask the cat, because I don't think the cat thinks they're better off dead. You know.
Right. That's
I can see how spaying and neutering and vaccinating would be so important, especially with rabies. You know, they would probably, just from a public health standpoint, want to make sure that that's taken care of.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people that object to the feral cats and don't want to get involved with TNR and all that is because the PETA mold, a feral cat is better off dead, which I don't agree with at all. But they say that they kill the birds and they kill. Look, I had 23 cats in my colony for 5 years. And I never, ever saw one of those cats chase down a bird and eat it. Never. You know, I fed them twice a day. A well-managed colony doesn't need to hunt. You know, so those myths are just myths. It's not true at all. And now the Western Governors Association has added the cat. I don't know if a lot of people realize, but they've added them as one of the top 50 invasive species. So now the cat, all cats are on this list, and they are considered an invasive species, which puts them at the top of the list for killing them.
Wow. I did not know that. You guys are really educating me. I didn't know a lot about this at all.
Yeah, the Western Governor name of the place that added them to the list, and it just puts a mark on a target on them, you know, because we want to get rid of invasive species, and now that the cat is on there, and they don't differentiate feral from domesticated. It's just cat, period.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, we're trying to fight it, but, you know, it's you know as well as anybody, you know, the fight that went on with pit bulls. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of people to stand up. And, you know, when you're all the Western governors are a part of it, Hawaii, California, Colorado even, even though we have a lot of protections for the feral cats. They're on the invasive species list. So I really, we're watching.
Will you message me that that list? I'd like to take a look at that. If you just go to my Facebook page, Watchdog Mary, if you could message me that list, I'd love to take a look.
Okay, yeah.
Is there another caller on W2? Oh, yeah, that would be great. I'd love to see it. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, Ray, I'll fix you or hook you up as on a friendship, too, because the more team players, the better, you know. And I got a caller calling in from 989. You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Do you have any questions or comments for the guests, please? And all the ones in the queue, we got a packed house, so try to be patient because I know a lot of you want to speak. But we got 4 minutes left, so I'm just doing my best, okay? Go right ahead, area code 989. Go right ahead, live
Hi,
and on the air.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Ray. This is Beth.
Hi, Beth.
All right, Beth.
I just wanted to add in that this no-kill thing, the linchpin of it all is TNR. If we can keep cats out of shelters that don't belong there in the first place, then we have more room for dogs and cats to get adopted out of.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Interesting. I didn't know a lot about this topic.
A lot of people don't, but I think, you know, a lot of people don't like community cats. Get these cats out of here, that sort of thing. But if they understood the whole situation, how they got there, why they're there, and that there's people there trying to help them out of their own pockets. Government doesn't usually provide money. They do this out of their own time and money. If they could see these people, I think they would change their attitude towards these cats.
Because their lives matter,
too. I'd like to take a look.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, Watchdog Mary, you know, because their lives matter, too. All lives matter, including all the animals. And when there's more... You know, like Ray was saying, when there's more strength in numbers, right, Ray? That's a main thing here. And the more we come and take action, the more we see positive results. So everyone, you know, do your part. Put a little love in your heart. Do your part because these animals, you know, they need our help each and every day in some way. And ladies, we're down to like 2 minutes and 30 seconds here.
Do we have any callers we didn't get to,
Debbie? Fast. I'm sorry?
I know. Did we have any callers we didn't get to?
Yes, we did. And I'm sorry, callers. If you know, we'll be having more shows with Watchdog Mary, or you could contact her, your Facebook page, Watchdog Mary, and your website. Can you give that out real quick, please?
Sure. The Facebook page is easiest, but the Facebook is Watchdog Mary, and then my website is www.watchdogmary.com.
Okay, great. And Watchdog Mary, I want to really thank you for coming back on air this evening, and looking forward to having you back on. You know, this we're going out here this finishing this week, and Beth, Frank, and Ray Bittner, thank you so much. The founder and also the director of the Community Cats United called in, former guest also. I love when everybody moves over and former guests call in and the callers call in, and we just rocking the airwaves, everybody. So, and also a Paul Redding who called in. Thank you very much. I want to give some shout outs here, help promoting the show. Watchdog Mary helping promote this show this evening. Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers, Megan Mason and Holly Smith, Voices Care for Animal Support Group on Facebook. I'm the one admins, and thanks to all the other admins. The Paul's Call Show, Fans of Animal Rights, Arlene, thank you. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Evelyn Pendle and Debbie Eisman, Voices for Animals, A Voice for Animals on Twitter. Paul's Pet Foundation, Sam Diaz, We Love Pit Bulls podcast, Diane Lynn Echo, on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio, Ask Sue Radio Show. Thank you. She's also on Blog Talk Radio, Animal Advocate, and Facebook. Paul's Across America, Advocacy, Cecilia Maida. Say prayers for her. She needs a kidney. Her health is failing. But all of you, thank you all for tuning in this evening. Next week will be Marty Irby. He's the executive director for the Animal Wellness Action. He's going to be returning. And hope you tune in every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide, unlimited listeners. This show will be downloaded, take about half hour after the show, when you can listen and share 24/7. Thank you, everybody, and may God bless you all, and keep up the great work you're doing. And watch Long Mary, I will be connecting you with Beth and also Ray, okay, on Facebook. So
sounds
thank you
great.
For tuning
Thanks
in.
Thanks for the cat education.
Yes, you learn something new every day, don't we? I mean, it's just so many issues. But paw in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone, and have a peaceful evening. And hope you tune in next week. Keep spreading the words. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.